You may not be aware, but it's National Autism Acceptance Month. And, you know, this is something really scary for parents after a diagnosis is made. What do parents do? They feel overwhelmed, maybe uncertain at times. Well, there's help out there. There are people to talk to. Let's bring in Dr. Tisa Johnson Hooper, Medical Director of the Henry Ford Center for Autism and Developmental Disabilities. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I know so many families touched by autism, and yeah, it's very scary initially while you're trying to get information. Talk about that initial step that you take with parents.
Yeah, you said it right. It's overwhelming, and parents are quite honestly uncertain. And in our Center for Autism and Developmental Disabilities, when we're providing feedback to parents, we're really cognizant of how families feel. So the first thing we're going to do is meet families where they are, knowing that autism can be a really scary diagnosis and recognizing it looks and feels different based on that person's family's unique characteristics, their race, their culture, their religion. So we really try to explore where families are to make sure we're meeting their needs. And it really starts with education, right? Education around the diagnosis. That's one of the second things that we're going to provide, finding out what they know, what they don't know, and we try to educate families about the diagnosis. The next step is providing recommendations. So you know, when you're faced with an overwhelming feeling and someone's throwing recommendations at you, it can be intimidating, and quite honestly, families don't hear it, and they leave out really still not knowing what to do. So we really try to make those recommendations with a priority list. We call it our road to success, and we're going to prioritize those recommendations and the things that we think are urgent and needs to happen within the next couple days versus those things that could take weeks to execute and even those over months to execute. And when we break up those recommendations into those bite sizes, families are able to, you know, to partner with their primary care physician to execute those recommendations. And our recommendations typically are medical, education, and community recommendations that we're going to provide. I will say lastly, beyond just giving the recommendations, it is important to connect families with those resources. And so often in our center, we're definitely going to, one of the resources we connect with is our the Autism Alliance of Michigan. It's an amazing organization that can allow families to find out through their Navigator program about the resources in their community, regardless of where they are in the state of Michigan.
Dr. Hooper, how do you encourage parents and family members to actively participate in their child's therapy? And what benefits does that involvement offer to both the child and the family?
Well, definitely, you know, to encourage a family to actively participate. When families come to us for the diagnosis, they're actively participating, right? They clearly have a concern about their child. And in the feedback, to your point, we will talk about the importance of not only the child getting intervention, but the parent getting education and intervention. So you know how to support and help your child in those skills that they learn. We want to see those skills generalized, right, across environments. We don't want that kiddo just doing this amazing work with the therapist. So the parent, we definitely let them know by going to the therapy, observing therapy, going to caregiver training, getting direction and instruction from the therapist, the physician. They're developing along with their child and can support their child outside of therapy to be their best authentic self in all environments.
In terms of that authentic self, we know that when you hear, well, your child's on the spectrum, this is a really broad spectrum now. And so, but how successful are these interventions in moving a child along that spectrum to maybe milder symptoms and, you know, greater quality of life? Or are you at a fixed point and stay at a fixed point?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not at a fixed point. We definitely know, and the evidence demonstrates, particularly when we're able to do the work of early identification and early intervention, the evidence does show those children that have the opportunity to get that early intervention, it can improve or impact their adaptive skills, those everyday skills,
right,
improve function, improve cognitive ability, right? So we know that interventions are effective. I am keenly aware parents want the best for their kids, right? And they will go to the end of the earth to make sure their child, you know, lives up to their potential. And I definitely will acknowledge that. But I work to make sure families, you know, don't feel so overwhelmed that they're kind of like throwing all the spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks, but comes up with evidence-based intervention so that we can see improvement. And I work with my families to say, let's reassess, you know, after so many weeks, months, years, if you will, reassess to see what that trajectory looks like. What do we need to do differently, keep doing, or do more of the same?
Doctor, how did families get to the Henry Ford Center for Autism and Developmental Disabilities? I'm assuming you observe your child, perhaps they're not meeting milestones, and then you first go to your primary care doctor?
Yeah, so we do get children referred to our center many different ways, certainly internally through internal primary care, behavioral health, neurology providers, the same externally. We get kids referred from schools, from parents, caregivers, when, yes, they observe behaviors, communication styles that they raise red flags for them. So you have to be referred through your primary care physician. But I would recommend for any family member, any neighbor, any person in the community dealing with kids, when there are red flags, say something and, you know, speak to that primary care provider and say, hey, I have concerns. And depending on the age, you know, you may want to pull out one of those validated screening tools between 16 and 30 months. Most providers can pull out what's called a modified checklist of autism in toddlers or the MCHAT to identify red flags. If a child screens with moderate or high risk for autism, the next step is a referral to a diagnostic center. It can be done through medical centers like Henry Ford Health System. And for children who are Medicaid eligible, it can be done through community mental health. But the availability for diagnosis is, you know, throughout the state, for both private and public insurers.
All right, Dr. Tisa Johnson Hooper, Medical Director of the Henry Ford Center for Autism and Developmental Disabilities, we appreciate your time, especially as National Autism Acceptance Month continues.
Oh, thank you for your interest.
I know a lot of parents go through it, and it's scary at first, but there are places out there that you can go and move the needle, as you said, Guy.
And, you know, you really got to pay attention to self-care as well, because sometimes that gets overlooked. It's crucial for parents.
For parents and caregivers.
And caregivers.
No,
you know?
No question. By the way, one minor footnote to that. It's not minor at all. That's $3 billion economic development that's happening at Henry Ford. Got approval from the
city council. Yeah.
Just earlier this week. So green lights as far as that goes as well, which will bring greater services to this area as well as housing.
Coming up, protection against those payday lending loans at 735.